heck chose this music.
But Erica, didn't you want the Chronicles music?
This is the wrong Chronicles. We're Latinos.
Welcome, mi gente, to the Latinx Chronicles, a podcast dedicated to sharing the success stories of nuestra gente in the Latinx community. We want to bring the stories that no one else is sharing to help educate and inspire others to grow and make a difference. Subscribe, follow, and let us know what topics you want to know more about by emailing us at thelatinxchronicles@gmail.com.
I started recording. We should have recorded that, Pip.
I think, Mila, you know, I think she set me up. The real reason she wanted you on here is because she's trying to get me to drink beer.
Oh, you don't drink beer?
No, I don't drink beer at all.
Whatever.
I didn't drink beer either for a long time.
Well, I heard some great things about you, and that's why we're bringing you here on the show today, because I want to hear a little bit more about you, you know. Let's see if you can convince me by the time we're done with this episode, if I'm going to go and taste some beer.
Let me order some and have it delivered to your house, Hit, by the time in an hour, right?
Perfect.
We're excited. We're in spring. We're recording another episode of our podcast, The Latinx Chronicles. We're super excited. Hip and I are both back from vacation. We took a little time off. Yes. Or not, right? I mean, we always work when we're on vacation.
Well, I was trying to take some time off, but Erica just seemed to text me. Like, it just felt like every day.
It was once in 2 weeks.
She says once, but it felt like every day.
Mentiroso. It was another Erica, probably.
Eric, we're in Mexico City. And are you from Mexico City?
No. So I'm originally from Zacatecas. I was in Mexico City. I love the city. And we visited the last time in 2018 or 17. Actually, it was, I think, 16, actually. So it's been a long time that we've been to Mexico City because there's always so many places to visit. But Mexico City is, I mean, one of the most wonderful cities in the world. It's right there next to Paris in my book. But Mexico City has, for me, a different layer just because, you know, it's Mexico and I understand the people and I love the culture and I love the food and the vibe. And there, you know, I love big cities more than anything else. I know Hip likes beaches, right? He loves the water. He loves to be near the water. But for me, being around people and being around the hustle and the bustle is really amazing. So my daughter, the other day when we came back to Chicago, she said, "Mom, I don't think there's so many people here like Mexico City, right?" And I said, "No, girl, there isn't. And I don't care how many people you put together." When we were out and about walking on Reforma, which is the main kind of street there where you have a lot of museums and buildings and restaurants, there was just so many people and just the intensity of the street artists and the painters and the street performers and the clowns and just everything you see on there is just a magical place. So Hipólito, you need to go and you're going to be there, Mila.
I'll be there next Friday. Oh, I try and take my oldest daughter, she's 14, back every couple of years, you know, with the pandemic, things changed. But I try and you know, travel back to Mexico City because that's where she was born.
No sabía, I didn't know.
Yeah, we lived there for 5 years before moving to Chicago. I'm not Mexican. My husband's not Mexican. But
I know you're not Mexican. So let me introduce you. So all of our guest speakers, all of our listeners, we have Milagro Ramirez, Mila, as I call her, and I think most people call her Mila. And the way I got to know her was from Five Rabbit Cerveceria, Five Rabbit Brewery in Bedford Park on the southwest side of the city of Chicago. So introduce yourself, Mila, where you are from. Tell us a little bit about your history. People want to know who you are.
Thank you. Gracias. Thank you so much. You know, I was saying I'm not Mexican. Andres, my husband, isn't Mexican. We have a Mexican child who has a Mexican passport. I made sure to get her passport before we left Mexico, and we've renewed it actually here in Chicago. But yeah, I was born in Lima, Peru, many years ago, and lived in Lima for about 5, maybe 6 years, and then moved around quite a bit. I'm married to Andres Araya. He's from Costa Rica. He always lived in Costa Rica until he married me, and then we started moving around again. Chicago is the city or the place where I have lived for the longest. I've never lived anywhere longer than five years, probably. And we've been in Chicago almost 11 years because our youngest will be 11 in August. What else? I have two daughters. That's me in a few words.
Well, that's news to me. I thought you were costarricense too.
No. Yeah, see, in the beginning, she told me, that's what she told me. She's like, Mila's from Costa Rica. I'm like, great, I'm going to Costa Rica in the summer. So I'm going to get to experience a little bit of that culture. You came to us from, obviously, South America. You say you've lived here the longest. What have been some of your challenges that you've had moving to the United States and obviously building a whole new life here?
So, you know, I'm used to change, right? So moving to the U.S., especially because I was very familiar with the culture, wherever we moved, except for maybe when we lived in Brussels, I always studied at an international school where most of my classmates were from the U.S., and many of the teachers were also from the U.S., so English was spoken. So it wasn't much of a culture shock as far as not speaking the language. You know, I traveled to Miami quite a bit growing up. But I do think that I ran into or experienced something that I had never experienced before, especially owning or Andres starting Five Rabbit, which is I probably had experienced racism before, but I had never noticed. Mm. And it was finally like very in my face. Like I finally experienced it where I was like, oh, okay.
This is what it is. There was a microaggression. I'm sure there was a microaggressions throughout.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, like, looking back, there's, like, little things, like, even in college, where I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. But I was never never self-conscious about it. I had lived in so many countries. I was just, like, very ignorant to it and very naive. And I finally, like, got a real taste for it living in Chicago.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, one of the most segregated cities in this country, right? So, yep. I mean, that's the reality of it. Let's not sugarcoat it.
Yes.
You said you've lived in all these countries. What is your like parents' background, if you don't mind me asking? Like, because when you think of, you know, our parents, Hipólito's parents and our grandparents, a lot of the times it seems that you had opportunities that maybe other people didn't have, right? Growing up. I know I didn't really travel until I was like 12 or, you know, 10 or whatever. But and when we traveled, it was Mexico. There was no international travel happening. I didn't have a passport until I was an adult, really. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that and how you had these opportunities studying in some of these private schools.
So, my parents are both from Lima, Peru. That's where I was born. That's where my parents are from. That's where their families are from. When I was maybe 4 or 5, my parents got divorced. And my mom, her good friend worked at the U.S. Embassy in Peru. And she set up my mom on a blind date with this man who was also divorced, lived in Peru with his two teenage daughters. Well, one of them wasn't a teenager. He was divorced and she went on this blind date. She was recently divorced. And she says, I'm giving you more history than I should, but she says she hated him. She hated him. She was like, he was such a smart ass. And he was, I hated him. But anyway, they somehow saw each other again, maybe at a party, months later, and they started talking and they started dating and they eventually got married. And it's funny, that's my stepdad. And, you know, I don't have much of a relationship with my father. I mean, we talk from time to time, but this, you know, man, he's actually Mexican, Mexican American. And he probably has what you were saying, that he didn't travel until he was older. And well, he's a lot older. He just turned 83, February 23rd. But you know, he's my dad. You know, yeah, when I got married to Andres in Costa Rica, when it was time to walk down the aisle, I walked with him and my father was waiting for me at the altar. So he became my dad. He's, and part of who I am and how I am, and Andres too, because he's had influence on both of us. He, just it's made me who I am. He's just this progressive, like extremely progressive, you know, liberal man. He's 83. But anyway, he grew up in Tucson, Arizona. His mom is from Nogales. His dad is from Texas, you know, also Mexican-American. Yeah. And you know, he has some stories. I wish you could have him on because, you know, he tells us about, you know, going to school and, you know, taking his burrito de frijoles.
Yeah.
And exchanging it with the gringos for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because they didn't have that at his house, right? He told my daughters, you know, my daughters were one of them doesn't care, but one of them was very sad because I didn't give them Christmas gifts this year, which is a whole other podcast. But but you know, because my mom thinks I'm crazy, but I didn't give them Christmas gifts this year. And one was crying a little bit. And he said to her, you know, it's funny. He says that his brother always got the gifts. Like they were poor, like really poor. And he says that he got a football one year. And it
was going to say the ball is always a classic gift that Mexican little boys get. Right. When there's no more and you got to share with your 5 or 6 or 7 siblings.
Yeah. And, you know, he said he was telling my daughter that he used to get fruit like apples and it made him so happy. And I told her, I was like, Emilia, you see, can you imagine that a child, a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old getting an apple and feeling joy? It's like, right. Yeah. No me moleste.
I don't think children nowadays realize that because they have so much at their disposal.
So
that
much.
They don't appreciate the little things.
No, they don't. They don't. So I call him Tio Arnold. His name is Arnold Munoz. And so he tells me that he was telling my daughter that then, you know, the football, his brother played with it. And within 10 minutes, it was popped.
Yes.
And so the disappointment, and that was like what the parents had saved up for probably, you know, to buy him. And it was just one, right? Now we go to the ball pops and within 10 minutes you drive to Target and the kid has another ball, right?
Yep.
It sounds like your dad had, this your stepfather, your dad, your figure, your mentor, seems he had a lot of influence on you throughout your life. You speak very highly of him. That honestly, Erica, take note, because I would love to have him on our podcast and really listen to him and hear his story. But obviously his influence had a big impact on you. How did he help you pretty much explore the world? Because you said you've traveled to different places. And obviously that's made you the person that you are today, by meeting different people, I'm assuming, right?
Right.
But how did he get you to leave and experience the world? What was his impact on all that?
Well, there was never any question, right? It's that ability to be able to adapt. He was a diplomat. He went on to go to college, and then he has his master's degree and he has a PhD. And then he took the exam for the Foreign Service, and he started working for the State Department. And I think this was when he was, you know, a little older than usually people take that exam, because he was a teacher for a long time and then in politics for a little bit. And then he took that test, and so we traveled a lot because of him. You know, he, every 3-4 years we moved, but I think that's what's important. That ability to adapt. I understand that it makes for a person that's not very, I always say about myself, my children have had the stability that I never had, as far as, you know, kids feeling that this is their home, this is their house, these are their friends forever. My friends changed every 3 years, every 4 years. My house changed every 3 years, 4 years. My school changed every 3-4 years. So I think it does make for an interesting human, but I have that ability where I adapt fairly easily.
Yeah, I think that in our society nowadays, that's important, being able to adapt to change. And, you know, some way, somehow you are able, because of your experiences, you're able to adapt much easier. I'm wondering if this is something we should be, you know, because as Latino parents, you know, all I used to hear when I was growing up from my mom is, don't leave the house. I wanted to go to school outside of the country. No, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave me. But I, you know, sometimes I feel that if you allow your children to explore and get to experience the world, they're able to adapt a lot easier and become so much more. So back to your story and how you, obviously because of him, you've traveled throughout the world and attended different schools throughout the world. How did that help you get to where you're at today? To a successful business owner, to an entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think I always was an entrepreneur at heart, more than Andres, I would say. And, you know, the business wasn't mine originally. It was an idea that Andres and I had together. I had the idea for the name, but really I know very little about the business. Well, I did then. Now I've learned. And then just, you know, and like you, didn't even drink much beer, not when the brewery started, but just, you know, growing up. That's the other thing. I say growing up because, you know, when you grow up in Latin America, I was never told by my parents when I was 17, 16 to not have a glass of wine, a beer, or a piña colada with rum if I wanted it. You
know? Right. It's almost natural, right? Normal. Almost natural. There's a gathering.
It's so natural. And Mi Tio Arnold, you know, he grew up in the U.S., but he offered us wine since we were young, like maybe 15, 16, you know, if we'd sat to have dinner and everyone was having wine, he offered us a glass of wine. But I think that I was always an entrepreneur at heart. Andres knew the business. He had worked at the Cervecería Costa Rica in San Jose after graduating from college. We had lived there for 5 years. We were married already. And he was very interested in beer. The brewmasters in La Cervecería who had all studied in Germany, mostly in Germany, I think. And Andres can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think mostly in Germany, played around with beer a lot, beer recipes and home brewing. And that just was so attractive. And Andres was just so intrigued by it. And he always thought, what if we brought like our sabores latinos, our flavors into this beer? And that's how that idea for Five Rabbit came to be.
So you said you came up with the name.
I did.
How did that name come up?
So I was actually pregnant with my first child. We were living in Mexico City. We were living in Mexico City, but we had been in Miami for a while because Andres was working from South America mostly. And we moved to Miami for a few months. Because he was traveling to South America so much and it was just nonstop flights. And then when we went back to Mexico City and I was pregnant with Lucia, I went to El Museo de Antropología one day. And yes, the idea had already like been spoken about what names we had come up with, a ton of lists of names, like hundreds of names. And I had read about 400 rabbits at some point, 400 conejos. And it's the children, you know, all these children of this god and this goddess in Aztec mythology. And I was super intrigued by the 400 rabbits. And in El Museo de Antropología in Mexico City, and there's a little bit of there's like an, I don't know if it's an exhibit, but there's something about Five Rabbit, which is one of these 400 conejos. It's
I'm
one
trying to
of
look
them.
At pictures to see if I have a picture of a conejo, if I took a picture.
Yeah, maybe. There's very little known about Five Rabbit. I mean, there are things about Five Rabbit, but it's not a lot of it. And it's funny because that also, I felt like it was a story that we could like elaborate on without like having total knowledge, because there's not so much known about Five Rabbit. I mean, there's some things we know about him, but, or about her. I mean, could be a her, right? But sure. we don't know enough about her. We know more about the 400 rabbits, and that was actually Five Rabbit's first name. Instead of Five Rabbit, it was 400 rabbits. But when we went to register the name, it had already been registered. And now there's a mezcal called 400 Conejos. But I don't know if that mezcal is owned by a larger corporation. At that moment, 11 or 12 years ago, the name was like registered, I think, by Cuervo. Correct. I mean, I may be completely mistaken, but it was like, it was an important
someone that, right,
that owned
right.
the name. Yeah.
So then Five Rabbits, se quedó. Things just happens like that, right? It was meant to be. So Five Lizard is my favorite beer.
I think mine too. I go back and forth. Like, I really like Chicago.
Okay.
Because it reminds me of that first beer that I loved, which originally was something, a beer called Imperial.
Okay.
It's a beer from Costa Rica. It's like this typical lager. And then when I moved away, it turned into Pacifico.
I see. Okay.
I love Pacifico. And so I go back and forth because Chicago reminds me of those like lagers that every country has, like their lager. Yeah. And then Five Lizard, I just love.
Yeah, me too. I love, if you don't know Hip, because you don't know, it has some notes of fruta de la pasión, passion fruit, or maracuya, you know, how we call it in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And it's just refreshing and it's a great, I normally like drink beer more in the summer than in the winter. I feel like I'm just like kind of like a summer beer drinking person. So it's like a nice beer to have in a hot summer day, and it's cold, y con unos taquitos. Or
for some reason, I've never had the taste for beer. I've always been inclined more to tequila and to wine. I'll take that back. In a very hot 103 degree weather, there was nothing but a very cold beer there. I drank it.
Ceviche. And it tasted like the best thing you've ever had in your life.
You came up with this name. You've built this great company. What's next?
So what's next? So we're actually, it's funny when Erika said Bedford Park, we are no longer in Bedford Park.
I saw you're moving to Pilsen, right?
It is. Yeah. And it's something that's been coming for a while. I mean, this has been a long time coming. It just, for one reason or another, it hasn't happened for us. That again is another podcast, but another episode. But finally, you know, we were able to move out, and we are actually downsizing. We are going to we are opening up a space in Pilsen. It'll be more my dream, a community space with a restaurant, a smaller brewery, and that community building aspect, you know, is super important to me. The music, I spent a lot of time in that tap room, so I saw how necessary it is for our people to have a space where they can go and get together and be able to speak their language and listen to their
welcomed.
Yes. And of course there are places like that, but you know, it's an authentic place where for us and everyone's welcome, obviously, but it's our space.
Like it's our roots,
and it's a great community. Pilsen is a phenomenal community. So I'm really glad you guys are moving there and creating a space where everybody can go and mingle. Did you come up with the name of the restaurant yet? Or
we actually have. And you know, I can't give you the story the way Andres could, but the name of the space will be Agua Buena, by Five Rabbit Cervecería.
Mm. Agua Buena. Always good to have some Agua Buena.
Agua Buena.
By Five Rabbit Cervecería. I love that.
And
it doesn't seem to me, I know you mentioned earlier that it seemed that you're downsizing. It doesn't seem to me like you're downsizing. I think you're expanding in a way, because you're opening up a restaurant, which is, you know, you're combining like two businesses into one.
Yeah. It's a small, limited, you know, menu. It's a small restaurant. Or small menu more than small restaurant, because it's not a restaurant. But like I said, it's like a small restaurant, small production facility in this like community space. You know, we'll have music and I have like this vision, and I'm working towards it, and hopefully it'll be open. We've had a few setbacks where we've been delayed. I didn't realize, you know, between architects and, you know,
it's permits, yeah. COVID.
And
permits
in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a rough couple of years, right? To say the least. And you're getting there, right? And we all have, I mean, we've all experienced these last 2 years, a little bit of setbacks and reinventing ourselves and thinking outside the box. But you know, you no quitases el dedo de renglón, right? You kept on your goal and your mindset, kept on pushing, and hopefully, you know, maybe that's where HIP maybe that's where we want to get together all of our guests from the podcast once we have a nice group of people.
I was just thinking
maybe that's where we bring them all and we all gather. We have
actually, I'm actually thinking we should have our podcast there.
Yeah, why not?
All the people, tomando chelas, all the guests, all at the same time and having a great conversation amongst friends.
Yeah,
sure.
That would be great.
And then I'll do this. I'll drink a beer.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think you're going to drink a beer.
Hold you to that.
Yeah, you're going to hold me to that. So, you know, I guess you will since this is being recorded, right?
So tell us, aside from the beer, making beer and selling beer and preparing for this new space, Agua Buena, what do you do for fun, Mila? What do you do to relax? What do you do to just take care of yourself mentally? What do you tell us?
You know, I spend time with my kids. I also spend a lot of time at the skating rink. Both my children skate. How I decided, because I decided on that sport for them because they were young when they started. They didn't decide. I was looking, I lived in Chicago and I wanted them to do something, like to play something. And it just seemed like that was a year round thing, right? Because you're in an
it's indoors.
It's indoors, it, you know, and then you can do it by yourself. It's not like soccer where you need a team.
Right.
Right. Or even tennis where you need someone else.
Yep.
So I spend a lot of time at the ice rink. So that's one of the things that I do. We fostered two puppies like this past, like 2 months ago we started. Andres has asked me, and so that's good for my soul. I feel I adore dogs. My children claim that I treat our dog better than I treat them. And Andres has asked me to never, ever do it again.
Puppies are hard.
No, but not so much because they're hard, but like I dropped the, so one was returned. She was adopted and returned. And so she came back to us. And so when she was by herself, she was like the baby and we all paid so much attention to her. And I just dropped her off on Tuesday. And oh my God, I cried. We dropped her off in Plainfield. I cried for 40 minutes. And this was like, do not do this to yourself or to us ever again.
Hard.
You get really attached to those little guys. You know, yeah. A lot of people, you know, so it's hard not to. I hate to admit my kids wanted a puppy and I was completely, completely against it. And to this day, I pretend that I don't care. But I got a phone call a few months ago from my wife. Something was wrong with the dog. And I was the first one to panic and say, get him to the emergency room. I don't care how much it costs me. Make sure he's taken care of.
Also, you have a dog.
Yes, I do. I do.
He gave in. Yeah, everyone gave does. In. Everyone in. Does.
Everyone does. At some point. At some point.
Our dog passed away last year in November, and I vowed I'm never going to have another one. So I haven't given in. And I say I'm never. I can't say I'm never because Victoria, my 4-year-old, sometimes will say, "Mom, I miss Jack so much. When are we going to get another dog?" And I can see it. I can see it coming one of these days. Dad's going to walk in with a dog or something.
About you not having one right now and your daughter, I would have called you about this puppy. She was the cutest.
Maybe
sweetest.
Maybe you can still call. They might still have
no,
her.
No, and then Loco, make no, sure no, that no, Erica... not yet. Not yet. I have a 1-year-old too. That's a lot of work. It's like having another puppy. Kamala, right? Comparing my 1-year-old to a puppy. Sorry, Mateo.
That's horrible. I would never want you to be my mother.
Puppies are a lot of work too.
They are. They are a lot of work. You know, Andres and I took up, I did first and then he started with a lot of yoga, maybe like a year ago, but I took up meditation and I got home and I told Andres, I had done it a long time ago and then I stopped and then I started again and then I stopped. But now it's something that I do every day. And I told Andres, is there a meditation for like missing the puppy? Cause I did not sleep that night. Just thinking like, is the puppy missing us? You know? Yeah. Anyway.
Sí, sí. La papi ni le importa.
No.
It's like, thanks for taking care of me. I'm good where I'm at now. Yeah. They're letting me be a dog. My husband would say when Jack was a puppy, you're treating her like a kid or something. I'm like, I know, but she's so cute. Mi preciosa, you know? So it's like, it's a dog. It's a dog. But, you know, it's hard not to fall in love with little doggies and whatnot. What else do you want to ask him? Because I know I want to ask something else, but I know I can see it that you want to jump in.
Yeah. I've just been wanting to ask, you know, like, I know you like ice skating, but.
Well, I don't ice skate, huh? My kids ice skate.
Your kids ice skate, but I'm assuming you don't join them at all. You just stand there and just watch them.
I don't join them, and I don't even know if I enjoy it. Oh. There are competitions and they win. I'm
okay, kind so, of very proud so of that, let's but... forget. Let's forget about everyone else. What do you like to do? What nourishes your brain?
One of them is meditation.
Besides meditation.
Well, it's funny that I said ice skating because that's where I spent most of my free time.
Free time.
Rink, but yeah, what nourishes my brain? No, you know, jokes aside, the meditation has really helped me through like the pandemic. That's when I like started doing it a lot. And it's funny because I a friend of mine who's actually, and you should speak with her. She's an entrepreneur. She's from Mexico City. She sells her product here in Chicago. Her name is Regina, and she has something called Nemi sticks. They're little like healthy snacks made out of amaranto and nopal. She connected me with a woman. She's like, I would say, a spiritual coach in Mexico City. And I started that during the pandemic. I started speaking with her, and that also reinforced my love for the meditation. But what I was going to say is it really helped me through like the pandemic times, which was so, so hard for so many. Right. It was really, really, really hard.
Rough time for sure. And we all, Hip and I were talking about this the other day. We all experienced it at different levels. Right. Yeah. You know, I was pregnant and then I was going to have a baby. And for me, you know, the baby was coming, and the midwives were very cautious, telling me you cannot get COVID. If you get COVID and you test positive, the baby will be taken away from you as soon as it's born. And for me, that was like my biggest fear coming up to the birth of the baby. Like, I have to be so cautious because I do not want to test positive. I don't want to be in a birthing center. I had my baby in a birthing center that if I test positive, they would send me straight to the hospital, and in the hospital, they would remove me from my baby. You know, they would remove the baby from me after being born. That's
very scary.
And so, you know, getting closer to that day, you know, I tried not to see anyone. I was being super cautious. And I know for some people were like, this crazy lady, Erica, you know, or she doesn't want to come into the office. But for me, it was so important to be able to have my baby in the way I wanted to, be able to embrace and touch him and hold him close to me and then come home. And then even after that, you know, one of the hardest moments in your life, we couldn't see family for the first month. The doctor said, try not to be around people. The baby's not vaccinated. We don't know who has COVID. You know, it was kind of in that time where it was very prevalent or everyone was getting it. So it was just a really difficult time, added to the difficulties of birthing a child and going through all this emotion. So I can understand, and I, you know, empathize with knowing that I had my own moments as well, but that you got help. And a lot of the times we don't do that as women. You know, we just kind of like keep on going because that's what we got to do. So knowing when it's time to ask for help or ask for advice to be able to stay sane and stay and be able to just be the better mom, better friend, better wife, right? And better business owner a lot of the times.
Mila, if you could turn back time, what will you tell your 18-year-old self?
A lot.
I love that response.
Let me get the scroll.
Yeah, no, you know what? You know, when you hear people say, oh, do you regret anything? And then the answer is absolutely not. Everything has made me into the person that I am. I mean, I will say that I think the past was me allowing myself to go through these, like, you know, if, in the hard situations. I mean, there's also been many happy and joyful and amazing and, you know, wonderful moments in my life as an adult, because you said, you know, from 18 on. But there have always also been hard times. But I think it's us giving ourselves permission without knowing to experience this. So we learn, right? Because they're all learning moments. Yes. So would I relive them? Yes. But would I give myself advice? Maybe like to navigate them better? Absolutely. One of the things that I would give myself like advice of is to let go. For many years, and still it's a work in progress, I've had I'm letting go. And it's funny because then that movie came out, right? Frozen. And there's the song, Let It Go. And every time, like, my kids, because I see a lot, especially in one of them, I see a lot of me in one of them, like that passionate, like, you know, when she has an argument with a friend, it's like she, it just like.
Telenovela. It's a telenovela.
Yeah. No, or at least like it keeps her up and it like, it really bothers her. And she's like, right, that I did the right thing. And so I tell her, let it go, let it go.
And then it's stuck all day.
Yeah. So I think at 18, I would have told myself, there are some things that you just let go. I think that's one of them, or like a big one. Let it go.
I love that. It's funny that you let it go, and that you just brought up that song. I had my admin yesterday where she made, in my opinion, in my eyes, I think that people learn through mistakes. You got to allow people to make their own mistakes for them to learn. And she made, in my opinion, she made a simple mistake with something within the office. And I acted like it was nothing, you know, you move on. But here we go, 3 hours later, and she was still dwelling on that mistake. Like, she couldn't believe that she'd made this mistake and that it was so big. And I go, you need to just let it go. And I started singing the song. Like, we all learn from our mistakes. You know, it's part of life. It's
so hard to let go. It's for, especially there's some personalities. Andres, for example, it's easier for him to let go. For me, I think also that whole moving thing, sometimes when I grab onto something, like, it's hard for me to let go, right? It's hard, but you have to learn to let go.
Yeah.
And this applies to everything, right? It's
Move on, right? Move on. Let it go. Move on. We can't wait to visit Agua Buena in Pilsen as well. Let us know. We will be there and enjoy some beers with you and brindar juntos.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mila. Have a good rest of the day. We'll talk soon. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you are inspired by today's episode. We will continue to share new stories with you because we grow from each other's life lessons, our voices are powerful, and because we need each other. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and contact us at thelatinxchronicles@gmail.com.